This week, violent protests in South Africa over the crisis in the Middle East. Pretoria has recalled its envoy in Tel Aviv and joined a boycott of Israel. This week, we'll explore the South African government's stance on the Middle East. Why is the Israel-Hamas war such a hot-button issue in the Southern African nation? And why aren't other African countries as vocal on the crisis? Straight Talk Africa starts now. Hello there and a warm welcome to Straight Talk Africa. We are coming to you from VOA's headquarters in Washington. I'm Heidi Adams. The Israel-Hamas war is a complex, divisive subject that seems to appear nearly everywhere these days. And just like in the rest of the world, there is a divided opinion on the crisis inside and among some African countries. For decades, South Africa's ruling African National Congress has shown strong support for the Palestinian cause and has repeatedly called for Israel to be labeled an apartheid state. Pretoria has long been highly critical of Israel's policies and in recent weeks has recalled its ambassador and diplomatic mission in Tel Aviv. A new survey by the Social Research Foundation reveals that less than 40% of South African voters believe that the Israeli government is practicing apartheid policies against Palestinians. The study conducted in October showed 29% of South Africans strongly agreed that Israel practiced apartheid. But we'll get to that a little later on. First, I want to look at other countries in sub-Saharan Africa. Where do they stand on the Israel-Hamas war? And why are their governments not as vocal as Pretoria has been on the crisis in the Middle East? I put those questions to David Monda. He's a political science professor at City University of New York. Here's our conversation. David, is it correct to say that there appears to be a degree of reticence among some African countries, at least publicly? And here I'm talking about countries outside of South Africa and certain North African nations. Some reticence about making strong public statements or shows of support for either side in the Israel-Hamas conflict.
I think there definitely is. So if you take most countries outside of South Africa and North African countries, many of them have either stayed neutral, they've tried to make pronouncements that don't seem to align with either the Hamas or either with Israel. But most of them have generally tried to stay quiet, tried to stay neutral. However, it's very interesting to see the case of Kenya, which earlier had come out very strongly in support of Israel, to have President Ruto go to Saudi Arabia yesterday and pull back on his almost 100% support for Israel to provide a more balanced statement, actually calling the Israeli actions in Palestine an occupation, as much as he said that Israel had a right to self-defense. So we really find a lot of African countries trying to balance this the very delicate need, because on one hand, they don't want to anger the Arab countries, the Gulf countries, which are an oil cartel and could hurt them with financial support and oil access. But they also need Israel for a range of economic, intelligence and military support.
And I want to get back to sort of this balancing act that some African countries have to pull off here. But beyond what the leaders are saying and doing, and I'm talking here about public sentiment too. In your view, are we not seeing the same amount of sort of mass protests in sub-Saharan African countries to the same extent that we are seeing in Washington, in European capitals, in North Africa, as we mentioned, and in some parts of the Middle East?
I think the challenge with a lot of African countries, obviously, is that many of them are under authoritarian regimes. So access to public demonstrations is generally very restricted. But I also think, as we talked about earlier, a lot of the regimes in sub-Saharan Africa are trying to apply this very balancing act. But thirdly, Let's not forget a lot of the countries in sub-Saharan Africa are dealing with their own pressing, crushing economic challenges, particularly now with oil almost reaching $100 a barrel, the economic slowdown, which is affecting many countries. So they have many other priorities other than the Israel-Palestine conflict that internally that they have to deal with. And I think this is some of the other elements of the disconnect in terms of why we haven't seen some of these domestic, demonstrations in other African capitals outside of North Africa and South Africa.
Yeah, and even in South Africa, of course, we see protests regularly in South Africa, but almost always those protests are about domestic issues and service delivery, etc. It is more often than not that that's what protests are about, more so than international issues. And even on this Israel-Hamas issue, we're seeing the majority of those protests happening in places like Johannesburg and, of course, in Cape Town. But as far as other African countries are concerned, Prof, how much of this is about economics? How much of this is about diplomacy? How much of it is about geopolitics? Can you walk us through some more of the risks involved here in what looks to be a global fallout over the war in the Middle East?
Yeah, so maybe I'll walk us through this in three subsets. So, for example, when we think about sub-Saharan African countries, say outside of North Africa and South Africa, many of the countries are really trying to walk this very delicate balance around not angering the Arab countries, the oil cartels around OPEC, but also dealing with their own internal problems. So if we take the case of Nigeria, for example, Nigeria has a huge Muslim population in the north. The military in Nigeria is heavily influenced by, the northern states, which are Islamic. So the Tinubu regime has to be very, very sensitive to that internal dynamic of the country. If you look at Kenya, for example, initially when President Ruto came out and was very supportive of Israel, Kenya has a significant Muslim population, and they were not very happy with the president's declaration on that. So there's other internal dynamics within each individual country which make it very difficult for leaders in those countries to come out one way or the other. When we think about North Africa, we then see a disconnect between the elites in North Africa generally, who've over time been trying to make peace with Israel. But the sentiment on the ground, public opinion on the ground in most of North Africa, is an antipathy and antagonism towards Israel very generally and towards these peace agreements. So in North Africa, you find the leadership is very much tied within this dilemma of Egypt, for instance, trying to secure its economic and security interests by making peace with Israel, but knowing the majority of the Egyptian population is very upset with what's going on in Gaza, and this could lead to another Arab Spring very easily. And then lastly, when you think about South Africa almost has this dilemma of its economic interests being tied to the West, to Europe and the United States, which have a position on Israel diametrically opposed to South Africa's philosophical and historical allegiance to the Palestinian cause because of connections to the liberation struggle, to the Palestinian and Arab support for the ANC during apartheid. So South Africa, even within the ANC, really has to play this very delicate line where its rhetoric cannot be so inflammatory that it then cuts its economic ties with the West on which it supports. And lastly, there would also be an internal discussion within the ANC around the generational gap. So this new young leadership coming through the ANC that didn't live in exile and doesn't have as close an affinity to the Arab states and the Arab cause, and obviously the legacy leaders, the Ramaphosas, the Mbekis, who had that very close affiliation with the Palestinians and the Arab states. It's really interesting to find out that even though we see this dynamic of many African countries not wanting to sort of sit on the fence in terms of coming out clearly on the issue of supporting Israel or Hamas. There are also very unique internal dynamics within each country, which are also very interesting to analyze in terms of thinking about whether a country will support Israel and whether a country will not support Israel or will support the Palestinians. But I think individual contexts are also very important, as much as we also study the historical dynamic of each country and the idiosyncratic dynamics in terms of what's the history of the leadership, for example, with the ANC in South Africa, and its closeness to the Palestinian cause or its antipathy with what Israel's doing, but at the same time having to balance that with South Africa's own economic interests.
And so, you know, for leaders, yes, of course, it's about economics, it's about the politics involved. But talk to us a little bit about, and you alluded to some of this earlier on, the religious aspect to this. I take it for ordinary people, and I've certainly seen this play out in my hometown of Cape Town. For them, it is about religion as well. And of course, Islam and Christianity are the dominant religions in Africa. According to the Pew Research Center, these religions together represent about 93% of the population of sub-Saharan Africa. How big a role does religion play, and how does it affect the degree to which some African governments are willing to speak publicly?
I think it plays a big factor. So if we take, for example, Nigeria or even the countries of the Sahel, so where they've already been having that contagious wave of coup d'etats, if you add a dynamic of, say, the government of Niger or Mali is going in support of Israel, that can have very serious, it can really complicate an already very unstable condition in a particular country, for example, in the context of the Sahel region. When we think, for example, of the situation in Kenya, President Ruto's administration has really been facing this fear that overtly siding too strongly with Israel would actually radicalize a lot of the more militant elements of the Muslim population in Kenya. But let's also not forget that Al-Shabaab is very active in attacking Kenya and has used jihadist rhetoric against the West and anti-Israeli sentiment to radicalize Kenyans and also radicalize Somalis to do terrorist attacks in Kenya. So there's a national security dynamic there.
A very tight balancing act indeed that African countries are faced with here. But Professor David Monda, always a pleasure to have you speak to us. Thank you so much for your time. From New York. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll take a closer look at tensions around the Israel-Hamas war playing out in one corner of South Africa, the heated rhetoric, and why some South Africans are taking to the streets in protest, and why others are not. Straight Talk Africa will be back in a moment.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
Health, wellness, sport, beauty, medical breakthroughs. Healthy Living cares about your well-being. What are the main health concerns in Africa and around the world? Find out the latest on coronavirus. Connect with our experts and ask them questions.
How long does the virus stay?
Join me, Lino Khmudu, in Washington. every week on Healthy Living, right here on VOA.
You're watching VOA's Red Carpet. My name is Jackson Vunganyi. Thank you so much for joining us each week right here on Red Carpet. We bring you the latest in...
You're with Straight Talk Africa. Welcome back. As the Israel-Hamas war rages in the Middle East, South Africa has been the scene of Africa's largest protests south of the Sahara over this conflict. Chaos erupted last weekend when pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters clashed during opposing solidarity marches in the city of Cape Town, which is home to South Africa's oldest Jewish and Muslim communities. Why has the Israel-Hamas war hit such a nerve in the Southern African nation? And why are some South Africans taking to the streets to protest? And why are others not doing the same?
As anyone and anything, it is my moral duty, obligation, and ethical obligation to stand up for human rights. I believe that any violence towards any person, no matter what race, religion, sexual orientation you are, is completely wrong. And what's happening in Gaza and in Palestine at the moment is a complete violation of human rights.
It's not free Palestine, it's free Gaza from Hamas. Because they are the ones doing all of that. They are the ones dragging the world into this turmoil. This is what it's all about. Now, we came here, yes, to stand and to talk, but obviously there is no talking.
The problem is not with the Palestinian people, it is with the terrorists, and we are saying they shout free Palestine, we say free Palestine of Hamas.
We cannot go to Palestine. We would be prepared to even be sandbags in defense of the people of Palestine. But this is the very least that we can do, to be here, to show a message, to send a message to the people of Gaza in Palestine in particular, to say we are with you. With our effort, with our sweat, with our blood, we are with you.
Well, South Africans, they're expressing opposing views over the crisis in the Middle East. My guest this week is Ziyanda Stierman. She is a senior analyst with the Eurasia Group. Ziyanda, always nice to see you. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to get right into it. You know, of course, as we have seen and as you know, the Israel-Hamas war does seem to have hit a nerve here in South Africa amongst some people. And I say some because it seems like it's only certain parts of the country where we're seeing mass protests, real conflict there in terms of people just clashing over the different sides they're taking, and amongst certain sections of the population. Of course, South Africans love to protest. We're not shy when it comes to public demonstrations. But we're not kind of seeing the sort of mass outpouring of people on the streets like we see in, say, service delivery protests.
You know, good to speak to you again, Heidi. You know, I think this issue is an incredibly emotive one for many, many South Africans, you know, across many different communities and for multiple sort of motivating reasons. And I think the reason why we see, you know, the type of protests we see in Johannesburg, for example, Cape Town, et cetera, is really tied to South Africa's own history. You know, as you were saying at the top of the show, you know, the African National Congress has been a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause for many, many years now, even though at the same time there is a, you know, quite a large Jewish community in South Africa, as well as there being, you know, a fair amount of Israelis who are also resident in South Africa. So what you have is a really emotive issue that stretches back, you know, multiple years into South Africa's own history, but is also very, very much felt on the ground and in multiple different communities. And there are, you know, as you said as well, some very old Jewish and Muslim communities in South Africa where this issue is, you know, particularly, I think, pronounced.
And of course, there's this religious aspect to it. But on the political front, of course, you know, the ANC government says it does not condone the October 7 attacks in Israel. It does not condone what Hamas has done, but it supports the Palestinian cause and always has. I mean, anyone who's from South Africa will know that has never been a secret. But then South Africa's international cooperation minister, Naledi Pandor, actually had a phone call with the leader of Hamas in the days after Hamas's attack on Israel. Of course, that drew the ire of Washington and of Israel and some other allies in the West, of course. Now, the foreign ministry, despite what they're saying, and despite what the Americans are saying, this does once again put South Africa at odds with the Americans about whose friend is whose enemy and whose enemy is whose friend.
Correct. You know, I think that was an incredibly messy situation that was made, I think, much more volatile by the fact that Hamas, you know, put out a piece of propaganda following that call, you know, essentially, in their own words, paraphrasing, you know, what the minister would have said, and it took hours for her department to respond to clarify, you know, what may have been said, what may not have. You know, I think very importantly, it's always useful to remember that the ANC as an organization has never particularly, you know, had diplomatic or any other ties with Hamas. Much more of that relationship, you know, existed with Yasser Arafat and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, as well as the Palestinian Authority that still continues today. You know, South Africa hosts an ambassador from the West Bank who was appointed by Palestinian Authority leader Mahmoud Abbas. So you really have a situation where, you know, both past and present day politics are 100% involved in you know, I think, both the ANC and the government's response to this particular conflict. And I think it's certainly one that we'll see, you know, in the coming weeks and months as this carries on, again, be a source of tension, I think, between possibly between the US and South Africa and other Western partners, given that there's such a strong position on this issue from the South African government.
I'm so glad you brought it up, Ziyanda, that relationship between the ANC and the Palestinians is largely was with Yasser Arafat. We remember the images of Arafat and former late President Nelson Mandela, of course, the warm relations there, and that the relationship was with the Palestinian authority, of course. But I want to get back to the religious aspect of this, Ziyanda. South Africa's population stands at around, 62 million people, and out of that, about 1.6% of South Africa's population is Muslim. There are between 70,000 and 80,000 Jewish South Africans. The vast majority of South Africans, that's over 80%, identify as Christian. What role does religion really play at the end of the day, not just in where people stand, but what they say and do publicly and what they say and do in private?
That's a really good question. And you know, I think, again, you said at the top of the show that the Social Research Foundation, you know, put out a survey around this question of how many South Africans think that, you know, Israel is practicing apartheid. I think very interestingly, these questions around religion also have to do with the way that you frame the conflict. So if you're thinking about or asking, you know, about a question of whether the state of Israel practices apartheid, that may not get the same reaction from people as if you're asking, you know, if you ask related questions around whether or not people think there's racial discrimination being practiced by Israel towards Palestinians, or again, you know, the mistreatment, let's put it that way, of children of Palestinian children and women. And I think you would have really interesting, nuanced answers as opposed to, you know, just a kind of headline question around the question of apartheid. And I think that that also is tied with, you know, with many religious beliefs. You know, the idea that human rights should be protected, of course, cuts across all religions. And that's the type of unifying message that, you know, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or of any other religious identity, that the scenes that, you know, are coming out of Gaza are certainly ones that I think would motivate many people from different backgrounds.
And I've always found it interesting that, you know, when we use the word apartheid, it is a very loaded term. Yes, of course, internationally. But in South Africa, it does take on a different nature, because for South Africans, it goes beyond, just segregation or beyond politics. And South Africans as a people would use that term very carefully and sparingly, because to them, it is about a particular experience unique to South Africa. Am I right or wrong here?
I think that that's true. I think that many sort of peace envoys or negotiators in previous years, from the South African government side, who've tried to initiate or to help advance peace talks in Israel and Palestine, have encouraged the use of the term apartheid to describe, what they see Israel doing in occupied Palestinian territories. But at the very same time, that's not, I think the word in and of itself absolutely has, I think, different connotations and consequences in one reality versus a South African reality. So where there may be encouragement of the use of the word for the purpose of solidarity, I would say that the two situations are quite different.
Ziyanda, we of course know that the 2024 general election is just around the corner in South Africa. I noticed in the imagery coming out of Cape Town something very interesting. Fikile Mbalula, the ANC Secretary General, at a rally in Cape Town. These are some of these images. This is certainly not an ANC stronghold. In fact, it is political territory that the ANC has wanted and not been able to manage to get for a long time. But does the African National Congress see an opportunity here to make inroads on this issue in a part of the country that they've never really had outright control over? I mean, is this an effective campaign strategy in the country?
I would definitely think so. I think this is something that the ANC would look at as a vote-winning issue. Again, it is so divisive, and there is such a clear line really in the sand between the views of the ANC versus, those of the DA and other opposition parties, that this is absolutely, an opportunity for the ANC once again to reiterate both its position and its solidarity with the Palestinian cause, but also to remind voters, for whom this issue may be very, very deeply felt and held, that, they're the party of Nelson Mandela, as you said, of Nelson Mandela embracing Yasser Arafat. And for decades at this point, the Palestinian cause. And so this I would think would be an issue in which the ANC looks at it and says this is an opportunity for us.
But at the end of the day, we still have a problem in South Africa around the issue of keeping the lights on, around service delivery and people's economic situation. Is it your view that is still going to be front and center for South Africans when they go to the polls next year?
Yeah. I mean, look, South Africans are a very complicated people. At any given point in time, you may think that the failures of the ANC government, if you think in particular with Jacob Zuma and his tenure, you may have thought that would have led to a wave of voters, voting for the opposition and essentially voting the ANC out of power. But there are many, many layers to the story of politics and governance in South Africa. And I think for a fair amount of voters, a non-insignificant amount of voters, this issue and the stance of all the various political parties will fall into that calculation as we go into the polls next year.
Well, Ziyanda Stearman, it's always great to speak to you. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to us and helping us understand exactly what is going on in South Africa. Complicated people indeed, I agree. Thank you so much. And that is our show for this week. Thank you, of course, to all my guests and to the more than 300 affiliate television and radio stations that bring you Straight Talk Africa throughout the African continent. Do connect with us on social media. Thank you for always watching and for always listening. From all of us here in Washington. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.